Beloved congregation, please turn in the Forms and Prayers book to Lord's Day 39, and we'll consider together this morning question and answer 104. It's found on pages 246 and 7 of the Forms and Prayers book concerning the fifth commandment. I will ask the question, and as is our custom, please respond with the answer. Question and answer 104 of the Heidelberg Catechism. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? Answer, that I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hand God wills to rule us. And we'll follow that up by reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. If you're using the Pew Bible, that's page 1022. Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. And we see Christ's disposition to his own parents. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning, after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan, and went a day's journey. And they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Let us pray and ask our God's help. Our God and our Father, we come before you this morning seeking to understand better the meaning and the application of the fifth commandment to honor our father and mother. We pray that you'd give us the wisdom and the discernment that is needed, that you'd give us the strength mentally and physically, that you'd grant us your spirit to counsel us and to help us. And that you would also grant to me the unction of your spirit that I may passionately, clearly, and faithfully proclaim the meaning and in application of this fifth commandment. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do this morning. I'm going to abandon my introduction that I had written earlier this week. As many of you know, last night, Kavanaugh was confirmed as the justice for the Supreme Court. And I'm not going to remark on his validity as whether or not he's qualified for the position. I don't feel qualified to make that decision, and certainly not from the pulpit. But I have noticed, and I do want to point out, the absolute animosity that has surrounded this whole ordeal. Those who supported his being installed as a judge, they have been very hostile to those who have opposed Kavanaugh and those that have been for or against Kavanaugh being installed as a judge. They have been very hostile towards those that were opposed. There's been a lot of hostility. There's been a lot of dishonor. A lot of bad-mouthing. A lot of shredding of reputations on both sides. And this isn't just unique to the political situation, not just with this particular issue, but you look at politics as a whole and you see it. We see how managers are treated. We see how teachers are treated. We see how leaders are treated. We see how parents are treated. It's easy for we who are under authority to grumble against those who are over us. It's very common. In fact, in our own day, it's almost virtuous, it seems. And at this point, we find the need and the practicality of the fifth commandment to honor rather than dishonor father and mother and all those in authority over us. So the goal this morning is to simply understand the meaning and the practical application for our lives of this fifth commandment. And in doing that, we'll look at three main points: who we honor, how we honor, and why we honor. First, we're going to consider who we honor. Beloved of Christ, here we are. We continue through the gratitude section of the Ten Commandments of the Catechism. And now we make it here to the fifth commandment. But before we really get into that, there's one thing I want to do first, and that is simply reorient us to the fact that this is the gratitude section. I want to emphasize that we are not considering the fifth commandment or any commandment in order that we might learn how to achieve a right standing with God. No, as we go through this section of the catechism, the instructor is going off of the assumption that we have been delivered from our misery and sin, not by our works, but entirely by the blood and merit of Jesus Christ. And so we're not going through the Ten Commandments to be counted worthy or righteous for eternal life. And that's really why I wanted to read Luke chapter 2 for you this morning. We consider the fifth commandment, and we do see that we fall short, that we are sinners and that we are in need of God's grace. But we look at Luke chapter 2 and we look at Jesus Christ and we see that Christ has perfectly fulfilled this commandment along with all the other commandments. We look at this account here in Luke chapter 2 and we see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there in the temple amongst the doctors, the teachers of the day, sitting there, which by the way is a sign, a position of honor. The teachers are the ones that sit. You know, you're sitting here this morning and I'm here standing. Back in Jesus' day, it was the other way around. So here's Jesus in this position of honor, asking questions, giving answers. The Son of God, fully man. And we find that Joseph and Mary make their way to find the boy Jesus. And after speaking to him, the text says that he continues in subjection. Subjection to this carpenter, subjection to this woman, his parents. Though he was counted of being worthy of great honor there in that temple, he was still subject to them. He honored them. Jesus Christ did perfectly what we cannot: be righteous. Thus, I want to say this morning, if you have not believed in Jesus Christ, if your trust is not in Him, but if your trust is in your own works, oh, I invite you to trust in Jesus Christ, to depend upon Him, to call out upon Him, to depend on His name, for there is no other name under heaven by which men may be saved from their sins, from their iniquities, from death. And now, as being delivered from that sin, now we consider the fifth commandment. And we consider it in light of the grace of salvation that has been granted to us. We consider it in light of the fact that we now live in thankfulness and in gratitude to our God for the great grace that He in love has poured out upon us. And so we look at this fifth commandment. It says to honor father and mother. as we consider who it is that we honor, the first and most obvious who is our parents. The first subpoint there, we honor our parents. Boys, girls, teenagers, notice this. Notice that the commandment says, honor your father and your mother. Not just one. Not just one more than the other. There's no distinction there. You honor them both. Now what this means, how you honor, we'll get into that later, but I want to emphasize that the command says, love, honor both parents. Now why do I emphasize that? Because I was a child once. I was a teenager once. I know it is easy to honor one parent more than the other. If I were to be more transparent with you, I would tell you quite plainly, as a child, I very frequently honored my father more than my mother. I remember being a young boy going to the grocery store with my mother, and I remember putting things in the cart that we weren't going to buy, and I was told frequently not to put them in the cart. I remember getting to the checkout line and pushing the buttons on the conveyor and just mucking the whole system up. My mom would tell me again, stop, cut it out. She would say my middle name, and I didn't stop. And then she knew what to say. Just wait till your father hears about this. Just wait till your father gets home. And as soon as she said that, oh, then I stopped. I respected my father more than my mother. And that was wrong of me. That was a sin on my part. That's wrong. You see, while our men, the fathers, are entrusted with the leadership in the home, while that's true, mothers are honored also. It shouldn't be needed that a mother should have to say, just wait till your father gets home. Just wait till your father hears about this. Boys, girls, teenagers, the commandment is clear. Honor your father and your mother. Honor them both. This is the most obvious who of who we honor. But there's more. It means that as we see this command to honor father and mother, it also means that we honor our managers. And teachers, the second sub-point there. Whoever we are employed to, men, women, whoever we are employed to, we owe them honor. Naaman's servant, he addressed his master, his boss, his manager, if you will, as father. And so when we look at this command, we're not just looking at fathers and mothers in a literal, physical sense, but all who are in authority. And most of us in the workforce have someone over us, if not multiple people over us. I remember when I worked at Lowe's, I had an immediate department manager, and over him was an assistant store manager who was over a number of different departments, and over him was a store manager, and over the store manager was a corporate manager. I had many people in authority over me. And I owed honor to each and every one of them. Whether you are interacting with a manager that you rub shoulders with every day, or that you see this manager once or twice a year, you owe honor to each and every one of those who are in authority over you. Connected to this, boys and girls, college students, you owe honor to your teachers and your professors. We read in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12, that Elisha calls Elijah his teacher. Father. So as teachers, professors, regardless of the subject, principals, what have you, are to be honored. Even those that you don't like? Yes, even those that you don't like. Show them honor. Thirdly, we also are to show honor to our civil leaders, our government leaders. We read in Isaiah chapter 22, verse 21, that a man named Eliakim, who is a steward of the king's house, he's called a father. He's a very important government official, and he's called a father. In Judges 5:7, Deborah, who is a judge, is called a mother of Israel. It's common in the ancient Near East that leaders, government leaders, kings and queens and officials were called fathers and mothers. And while it's true that in our own day we don't have kings and queens, we do have presidents, vice presidents, senators, representatives, judges. We are to honor our government leaders. Even if they're of the party that you don't agree with, that you don't like, yes. Even if they're of the party that you are against. Even if they don't support policies that I don't like, yes. Even if I disagree with the system that got them into power, yes. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your governing officials. We read in 1 Peter chapter 2 that Peter commands his readers to honor the emperor. Who was the emperor? It was Nero. If Peter can command the early Christians to honor Nero, then surely we can honor the president, the vice president, the senators, the representatives, the judges. And this honor doesn't extend merely to the federal level, but also to the state level, the governors, the state representatives, and also the local level, the mayors and the policemen. We are to honor civil leaders, no matter their office, no matter their level. Fourthly, we honor our church leaders. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 gives us the idea that officers, church officers, in a sense, are our fathers. And it's true that ministers, elders, deacons, they differ as far as roles go, but they are equal in dignity. One office cannot lord dignity or authority over another. And thus, since every office is given equal dignity, we should honor minister, elders, deacons, as they are all church leaders, as they are all church officers. And to cap it all off, just to use the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, we are to honor all that have authority over us. This list that we have here, these four individuals, or these four items on the list, it's not an exhaustive list. Any who have authority over us, it is our duty to show them honor. Now, I've used that word a lot this morning. Honor. We've talked about who we are to honor, but what does that mean? We talked about what it means to honor father and mother, but what does it mean to honor father and mother? How do we show honor? Well, our instructor tells us. He unpacks the meaning, the idea. We first honor those in authority over us with our disposition, the first subpoint there. He unpacks and he says that we are to have a disposition of honor, of love, and of faithfulness. To have a disposition of honor towards those in authority with us, over us, it means that we treat them with seriousness, with respect, with value. In Exodus chapter 20, that word there for honor is the Hebrew word kavod, which means heavy. Now we might hear that and think that's odd, that the word for honor is the word heavy, but it actually makes a lot of sense. When something is lighter, we tend to treat it as something that is cheaper. Something that is not as soundly constructed. And so, being the fact that it is light, it is cheap, we treat it lightly. But when something is heavier, we instinctually give it more value. We feel that it is a more sound construction. We appreciate it. We cherish it. Even going to restaurants, we can kind of get this idea. You go to a restaurant, let's say, and you order your food and you sit down, and the food that you have, it's all in a styrofoam cup, on a styrofoam plate, plastic silverware. Maybe your food is not even on a plate, but it's wrapped in paper. Well, the food is probably pretty cheap. You've probably gone to McDonald's. It's something very basic, something not very expensive. But perhaps on a special occasion, you go to a different restaurant. It's a fancier restaurant, and the food is served on fine china. The silverware is of a thicker, heavier sort. The drinks are served in crystal glasses. The weight of just the tableware indicates to you the value of the food, the value that is placed upon this restaurant, that there's more value to this meal or to being in this place than perhaps being at McDonald's. And so you even carry yourself perhaps differently there. You dress differently. You have more appreciation. That's sort of the idea of the honor that is given to those that are father and mother. We don't treat them lightly. We don't disrespect them. We don't badmouth them. In fact, in honoring them, we have a disposition of love toward them. A love of serving them, of desiring their good. You see, we are to love our parents. Proverbs 23, verses 25 says that we are to act towards our parents in such a way that they will rejoice over us. The implication, obviously, is that we love them in such a way and care for them in such a way that it would give them reason to rejoice. Exodus 22 verse 28 says that you are not to hate or curse a governing official. Obviously, the inverse of that means that we are to love those that are our governing officials, desiring their good rather than cursing them. As regards our church leaders, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 says, esteem them highly in love because of their work. There's a call to love those who are in authority over us. And also there is a faithful disposition. Honor, love, faithfulness. It is to consistently honor those in authority over us. To show faithful love to our parents means that as they age and as they have different needs, that we care for them. That we seek to provide for those needs. We as students, we honor our teachers. Or as workers, we honor our managers by doing good and honest work, even when they're not looking. I know that it is easy that once the teacher leaves, once the manager leaves, it's easy to goof off and do your own thing. But if we are to faithfully love and honor our teachers and managers, we'll work hard, faithfully, even when they're not looking. We faithfully love our civil leaders when we diligently and carefully pay our taxes, just as prescribed, giving tribute to whom tribute is owed, giving custom to whom custom is owed, per Romans 13. That's tied to the fifth commandment. We faithfully honor our church leaders with the giving of our gifts and offerings. Galatians 6:6 says that the one taught the word should share good things, the good things that he has received, with his teacher who taught him that word. We give to our offering, and we give gifts to the causes of benevolence so that deacons may distribute those gifts of mercy and show the mercy of Christ. We give gifts to the offering so that elders may govern a functioning church. We give gifts so that the minister may devote his time to the study of the word and to the ministry. How we honor with our disposition, a disposition of honor and love and faithfulness. Second, we also honor with obedience. The second subpoint of the second Roman numeral there. We honor with obedience. Now notice it does say proper obedience there because we must obey God rather than man. But if those in authority, if they are not commanding something contrary to Scripture, we are obliged to respond with honor and obedience. That's important for any sphere of life, that we obey those in authority over us. Children, if you don't obey your parents, the home life is going to be in disarray. It will be robbed of any sort of peace. If we don't submit to and obey our managers and teachers, the workplace, the school, it's going to be a place of no peace. If we don't submit to the government, the nation will be a place of great turmoil and turbulence. If we don't submit to the church leaders, the church is a place of great tumult. It is very important that we understand that in the fifth commandment we seek to submit to and obey to those leaders that God has placed over us. It is so important. Order in these spheres of life is at stake. So important was it that God said in Deuteronomy chapter 21 that if anyone has a son that is stubborn and rebellious, he was to be stoned. Now, this doesn't mean that if a child had one fit, he was going to be stoned out in the field. No, if a man has a child that is systematically and consistently disobedient, such a child was to be put to death. Because it was the goal that all the spheres of life, the governing sphere, the religious sphere, the home sphere, that they would all have a sense of order. For our God is a God of order, not disorder. Now, we're not under that governing structure, that governing law today, but it shows to us how important this is. And that's why we read in the New Testament that children are to obey their parents, Ephesians 6. That managers and teachers are to be obeyed and submitted to, Colossians 3. That we're to obey our governing leaders, Romans 13. That we're to obey our church leaders, Hebrews 13. Where it says, obey them so that they may carry out their call with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. So you see the importance of this commandment that we honor our leaders with a sort of disposition that is one of honor and love and faithfulness, that we honor them with proper obedience. But that does raise a question then, doesn't it? What if they do something I disagree with? Or more to the point, what if I simply don't like them? What if I don't like those in authority over me? Well, again, I would reiterate what I've already said. First of all, if what they're saying, if what they're commanding is unbiblical, you must obey God rather than man. For instance, if the government outlawed public worship, that we couldn't meet on Sunday anymore, well, you would be compelled to disobey God in order that you, or disobey government so that you may obey God. But even so, even in disobeying the government, you would still honor them, show them respect. As I said, Nero was emperor at the time that Peter wrote his letter, and Nero was a man, an emperor who was certainly evil and most certainly mad. And at times the church had to disobey Nero. But even so, the command was still submit to, honor the emperor. You might not agree with him, you might not like him, but respect him, honor him. To bring this close to home, President Trump is a man that many, many, many people don't like. You might not like him, you might not like his policies, you might not like his personal life, but we're commanded the same command. Honor him, respect him because of the office that he holds. Now, before we think that we're really good at this, that we follow this command really well, just let's wind back the calendar a few years, back to the days of Obama. You might like Trump, but you probably didn't like Obama then. Did you respect? Did you honor that man? You might have disagreed with him. You might have disagreed with his policies. You might not have liked him. But did you still honor him? Did you still respect him? Or did you disrespect him and badmouth him? Whoever is in authority, whether we like them or not, we are to respect and obey insofar as we are not disobeying God. So we honor with our disposition, we honor with obedience, and then thirdly, we also honor with patience. Patience, as our instructor says, that we show patience with them in their failings and shortcomings. It's very interesting that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, Peter says to those servants, submit to your masters, both those that are good and gentle, and also to those that are unreasonable. That would require patience. It's easy to do that as soon as something happens that we don't like, that a policy is enacted by the government, by our masters, by our managers, by our teachers, by whoever, that we begin to grumble like the children of Israel in the wilderness. It's easy to badmouth. It's easy to complain. But the fifth commandment says to us, be patient. Honor them. Be patient with their shortcomings. I've seen the grumbling, the disobedience, the dishonor in most of the spheres of life. I've seen children disobey parents and dishonor parents. I've seen workers dishonor managers. I've seen students dishonor teachers. I've seen laymen dishonor the church officers. And I've seen it especially in how we as citizens dishonor our government leaders. As soon as something happens that we don't like, we tend to complain. That's the way the world works. But may it not be so of us. Let us be patient with our leaders' shortcomings. Be patient in their failings. Not gossiping about them, not bad-mouthing them, but rather in love, being patient, and being transparent with them, sharing with them our concerns in love and in transparency. You see, every authority has some sort of channel by which you may properly express your concerns. And so rather than gossiping or bad-mouthing those in authority, we should use those channels to express those concerns. For example, the government has the means whereby we may write to our government leaders, call them, that we may have lawful protests. We as a consistory, we have an open door policy that you can come to consistory or you can write your concerns to consistory. Children, you can speak honorably to your parents about the concerns you might have. And so on it goes. we deal with these leaders with patience and love and transparency. This is how we are to honor those in authority over us. So we talked about who we honor, how we honor, and finally, thirdly, why we honor. Why we honor? For by their hand God wills to rule us. So the first subpoint there is because God rules through them. God rules through these authorities that God has placed over us. Has He put all presidents in power without exception from Washington to Trump? Yes. He's put every single president in power from Washington to Trump intentionally by His plan, by His will. Why? Sometimes we don't know. But the Scripture is clear. Romans 13, 1 and 2 says that there is no authority that is established except that it is established by God. And to resist such authority is to resist the ordinance, to be opposed to the ordinance of God. God gives us the leaders that we have. We don't receive the leaders that we have by fate or by chance. Again, why do we receive the ones that we do? We don't always know. But we do know that God gives them to us to rule us through them. And secondly, because God blesses us through them. God blesses through these leaders. Exodus chapter 20, what does it say? Honor your father and your mother that your days may be prolonged in the land that the Lord your God gives you. You see, the children of Israel, when they went to learn and to follow and to honor their parents and Moses and Joshua and the Levites and the priests, they would learn in such a way so that they would be equipped to live a, generally speaking, longer life. This isn't a mystical thing. This isn't inexplicable. You see, when children learn from their parents, when they learn from their leaders, when they learn, in the case of the Old Testament, from the priests, they would have heard the Old Testament law and gospel and how to live in gratitude to the Lord their God. They would have heard how they are to not lie, how they're not to commit murder or adultery and so on and so forth. And in learning these things and taking them to heart, it would lead, generally speaking, to a quiet and peaceable life, whereby their days would be prolonged in the land whereby the Lord their God had given them. You see, when we honor our parents, dear children, we're honoring them so that we might learn from them, that we might learn from their mistakes, that we might learn from their wisdom, that we might be equipped to live a good life. A life that's not filled with so many of the troubles of people that have no parents that really teach them good, solid, biblical ethics. We listen to our managers that they might teach us and equip us to function in our workplace and thus be able to put bread on the table. We listen to our teachers because they also function us so that we might grow to be good, contributing individuals of society. We honor our government, and in so doing, we stay out of prison. We honor our church leaders so that we might hear the law and the gospel as a means to grow closer with God and Christ. So you see, the authority that is given to us, that is placed over us, many automatically think that all authority is evil and bad, but it is a gift. It is a gift from God to help and to bless you. And so, dear brothers and sisters, let us indeed take this command to heart, that we would honor father and mother, whoever is in authority over us. Amen, brothers and sisters, let us pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning, thanking you and praising you. Firstly, for the gospel, saving us from our sins and iniquities by the blood of Christ. Confessing, O Lord, that we are individuals that dishonor father and mother. That is who we are by nature. And so we thank you for Jesus Christ, who died for those sins and iniquities, and for all of our sins and iniquities. And Lord, we thank you also that your law has another use, another purpose, that we may live in thankfulness, in gratitude to you, that you give us your law so that whereby we might also know how we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, a life of sweet communion with you. And so, O Lord, may we take your law seriously as we seek to live in thankfulness to you. Not looking at it as a legal means whereby we might be able to demand something from you, as a means that you bless us through. Father, we pray that you would give us a good afternoon, that we would reflect on what your word has taught us this morning, that we may see how we may apply it to our hearts and our lives, and that you would use these things to make us ever more like our Savior, Jesus Christ, your beloved Son and our Savior. It's in his name that we pray all these things, and please forgive us of all our sins. Amen.